You found page 288 in your songbook. That's where we're starting this morning. Hark, the herald angels sing. If you ever wondered who Hark was, which angel was it? Hark, the herald angel. Well, I want to talk about, I remember watching the Charlie Brown's Christmas, Charlie Brown Christmas. How many of y'all have seen that this year? You've watched Charlie Brown's Christmas, okay? You got the little girl, and she's trying to remember her lines. And she's trying to remember her one word that she's supposed to say. Her word was hark. She's supposed to say hark, because hark, the herald angel is about to sing. And that's her one word, and her brother is playing with his hockey stick and his hockey puck all week long while she's trying to remember her one word, the hark, that she's supposed to say. And she gets up on the stage, and the light shines on her, and she says hockey stick instead of hark. That's what I think of when I see hark, the herald angels sing. Look at that. I'm going to preach the message using hark, the herald angels sing as the outline this morning, but I thought we'd read it together first. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Verse 2, Christ by highest heaven adored. Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to appear, Jesus our Emmanuel here. Verse 3, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. I'm skipping the chorus each time because it's kind of redundant, okay? Going to the fourth verse. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface. Stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. What a song this is. And most of us, okay, do a quick poll here. We're going to do a quick poll. How many of you know Hark, the herald angels sing? Raise your hand if you know that song. You feel like if you had to come up on stage right now, you could sing that song. Okay, so all the hands went down. But you know the first verse of that song, most of us do. How many of you know the second verse of Hark, the herald angels sing? You think you could sing that without looking at the words? Okay? Anybody know the third verse? Marlene, you seriously, you know all these verses? The fourth verse? I think there is a fourth verse. So this is a song that we know. We sing it a lot. And I want to go through it. There's an amazing message in that song that I want you to get this morning. But before we do that, I got to tell on Brother Reed. He was walking down the street. He noticed a little boy. It was Christmas Eve last year. I'm making this up, right? He noticed a little boy named Larry. Larry was a neighbor in his neighborhood, and Larry's just little. He's reaching up, trying to press the doorbell of a house across the street, and he's too small to reach the doorbell, so Brother Reed stood there and watched him for a little bit, and watched as he was really trying hard to reach that doorbell. There's something really important. So Brother Reed decided to go over there. He eagerly walked across the street. He wanted to help this little boy. He stepped up behind the little guy, placed his hand kindly on the little boy's shoulder. He leaned over and gave the doorbell a solid ring. He crouched down right next to Larry, and he smiled at him. He said, "And what do we do next, Larry?" And Larry got this big grin on his face, and he said, "Now we run." Brother, thanks for helping Larry. Daisy was 13 years old. Daisy had a 2-year-old sister named Mia. They've been fighting a lot during the year, and you know, when you get a 13-year-old and a 2-year-old together, sometimes they don't always see eye to eye, but they were fighting a lot. And Daisy's parents, trying to take advantage of, Mia's parents, was trying to take advantage of her newfound interest in Santa Claus, reminded Mia that Santa Claus was watching, and he's unhappy when he saw children arguing and fighting. Now, it didn't really have much impact on Mia. She's 2 years old. She's a little too young to understand. So Mom had a great idea. She said, "I'm going to tell Santa about your misbehavior." She picked up the phone, and she called Santa Claus. Now, Mia's eyes got really big because Mia's mom said, "Mrs. Claus," and there was a voice on the other side. Mia's mouth dropped open even further as her mom described to Santa Claus, which happened to be Mia's uncle, who was standing in and acting like Santa Claus, all the bad stuff that Mia had been doing all through the year and how she'd been fighting with her big sister, Daisy. Mia's mom said, "Do you want to talk to her?" Mia kind of shook her head like, "Please no, please no." She gave the phone to Mia, and Santa Claus, which was really Mia's uncle, went through and explained in a deep voice, there'd be no Christmas presents on Christmas morning to children who fight with their sisters. He would be watching, and he expected things to be better from now on. Now, Mia was wide-eyed. She had the phone. She gave it back to her mom. After a short while, mom thought that she had, you know, had a clever idea, and she's kind of chuckling behind, you know, behind herself. And she said, "Mia, what did Santa Claus say to you?" In almost a whisper, Mia was very sad, but very matter-of-factly, she said, "Mommy, Santa said he won't be bringing any toys to Daisy this year." All right, the rest of you get that later. Hark the herald angels sing. What a thought this is. You picture the Bethlehem hillside, and you've got the shepherds out there. They're watching their sheep. There's so many songs that we sing about this. And the story in Luke chapter 2 that we'll read about that come tonight. We're going to read through the dramatic reading of the Christmas story with some kids that will be singing some songs for us. But we read this story, read about the angels, we read about them on the hillside, and it's dark, and they're watching their flocks by night. And the Bible says all of a sudden the sky is filled with the angels, and they're making an announcement. That's what Hark the Herald Angels Sing is all about. I want to take that song, and I want to break it down, and I want to make it real to you this morning. A lot of times we sing a Christmas song and some of the words don't make sense. Some of the ones we just kind of go over it and we know the words, we just move on. Some of the words are kind of funny in Christmas songs. Some of them they don't put all the words in there. They'll just like put up where was it? I saw it. Hail the incarnate deity. It's not the word the, it's like a TH with a th on it. But we know the songs. We're familiar with the songs. But if you stopped and thought about them, this one just makes a great outline, so that's why I'm going to preach it this morning. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth, and mercy mild. Here's the first place we're going to stop this morning, that's this. God and sinners reconcile. To reconcile means to call back into union, into friendship and favor after being alienated or estranged. Have you ever had that fight with your best friend and you don't talk to each other for a while? You're estranged. You don't really talk, or maybe a husband and wife have a tough day, or a boyfriend and girlfriend break up and get back together, and break up and get back together, and break up and get back together. That's just craziness. But whenever you have a relationship and you're apart, you're estranged, you're alienated, and we are all sinners, and we've got to understand this: alienated from God, because of our sins, we're foreigners in the kingdom of God. We don't belong there. Hope you understand that this morning. Every one of us is a sinner. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died on the cross. That's why we sang the song, "It's About the Cross." That's what Christmas is about. Jesus came to go to the cross, but because of our sins. We're estranged from God. We're alienated from God. Estranged means we deserve to be kept at a distance. Because of our sins, we don't deserve to be allowed into God's presence. But Jesus came to this earth. He came as a baby to become a man that would be our substitute and pay the price for our sins for the purpose of reconciling us with God. Reconcile may not be a word that you use every day, but as you sing the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you get to that line, God and sinners reconciled. Not at the manger, but the cross. The reason Jesus came was to bring us back. To reunite us with God. God created man, and when God created man, man was perfect. Man had never sinned, but remember Adam and Eve? Your great, 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 great grandma and grandpa, right? They sinned. They disobeyed God, and when they disobeyed God, the Bible says death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we are all sinners, and because we are all sinners, we are alienated from God. We are estranged from God. We do not deserve to be in His presence. We do not deserve to be in heaven. But Jesus came to reconcile God with sinners. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, I'm going to have you turn there this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, we see the word reconciled in this passage. I don't want you to see that. Should have given you a little bit of a head start on that one. It's in the New Testament, and after you finish Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you get through Acts, the books start going a little bit faster. They're smaller. You can go through them kind of quick. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians. Then you've got Galatians, Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, then Philippians, and then Colossians. That's where we're going this morning. C-O-L, if you've got the little tabs on your Bible. Colossians chapter 1. I want you to see this. When the Bible talks about us being reconciled with God, here it is. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross. Talking about Jesus. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Let me boil that down for you. Jesus came to this earth, He suffered, He bled, and He died to reconcile you to God. Because we are sinners, we are enemies of God. Because we're sinners, we are alienated from God. But Jesus Christ came in the body of His flesh through death, the Bible says, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Wouldn't it be an awesome thing if God could look at you and say, you are holy. You are unblameable. You are unreprovable. You are not guilty. You are innocent. You are righteous. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing? I mean, if we were to stand before God in our natural state, all of us are sinners, God would have to look at us and say, you're a sinner. You are unjust, you are unrighteous, you are guilty. But because Jesus came to this earth to reconcile God to man, because Jesus came to this earth and He died on the cross, when God looks at you, if you trust Jesus Christ as your substitute and as your Savior, He would look at you and say, righteous. He'll look at you and say, not guilty. He'll look at you and say, justified. What a thought that is. Going back to Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. This could be a whole year-long series, I think. And I'm not going to preach the whole series this morning. But what a thought that is. We should proclaim it with the angels. Okay, the angels are done proclaiming it, but you and I can proclaim it. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Verse 2 starts this way. Christ by highest heaven adored. Let me stop and talk about that just for a moment. Christ by highest heaven adored. What are we talking about? Well, in Philippians, you're in Colossians. Are you still there? You're in Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. So go back one book. You find Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. What does Christ by highest heaven adored mean? Well, sometimes when somebody writes a song or writes a poem, they'll drop out some words because it doesn't just quite fit in just right. How many of you have ever written a poem? You've written a poem? You ever had to drop out a word or add a word or kind of extend a word like Gloria to make it fit? All right. Well, that's what they do sometimes, so it doesn't always make sense. Christ by highest heaven adored, what are we talking about? Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was in Christ Jesus' mind? Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. How could he not think it's robbery to be equal with God? Because he is God. Jesus Christ is God. That's why he's adored by the highest in heaven. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen to this. Every angel in heaven worships Jesus. Every Christian that's ever been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb that is in heaven worships Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says this, all things were made by Him, talking about Jesus. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Christ, Christ by highest heaven adored. What were we talking about? We're talking about Jesus Christ being God, the creator of the universe. He is God, and that is why all of heaven adored Him. Christ by highest heaven adored. Colossians 1:16. Go ahead and turn there. You're really close to it. You're in Philippians. Go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Christ by highest heaven adored. Look at this. For by Him, Colossians 1:16, for by Him were all things created. We're talking about Jesus. Who created all things? Jesus created all things. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him. Look at this. And for Him. The baby that came to be born in the manger, before He was a baby in the manger, was God in the heavens. Colossians 1:17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Can you imagine what heaven must have been like the day Jesus left? He'd been in heaven since eternity past. He'd created all things, everything. He created the angels. The Bible says all things were created by Him. He's the creator of all things, and He chose to leave heaven, leave the side of God the Father, and come to this earth and be born as a helpless baby. Can you imagine what that day must have been like in heaven? The one who had been glorified and praised and honored was gone, and He'd left and gone to earth. Christ by highest heaven adored. The next line says this in Heart, Terror, Angels, Sing. It says this, Christ the everlasting Lord. This is an amazing thought. How long is everlasting? Well, it's forever. Never stops. You've seen an everlasting gobstopper, right? Okay, no, you haven't really seen one of those. The idea is everlasting is forever. There's no beginning, there's no ending. The Bible says Christ, the everlasting Lord. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. Please don't get mad at me for mentioning everlasting gobstoppers in church. Can you find John chapter 1, verse 1? All right, come on, I never preach with a hat on. I'm a little out of my element this morning. And whatever this is around my neck. It's pretty though. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. We're talking about Christ, the everlasting Lord. Look at this. In the beginning was the Word. That's a capital W word. It's talking about Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Now skip down to verse number 14. It'll help you to know who we're talking about here. Who is the Word? Who is it that we're talking about? Who was in the beginning with God? Who made all things? Well, John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the one that was in heaven and came to this earth and was made flesh. We're talking about Jesus, and the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus had no beginning. He was in the beginning. Let me say it this way. Before the beginning, there was God. Before the beginning, Jesus was there. Jesus existed before anything was created. He is God. He is eternal. Jesus never began and Jesus never will end. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have, you know the rest of this, everlasting life. Now, how could Jesus give everlasting life if He wasn't eternal Himself? We've got plenty of scripture that tells us that Jesus was eternal. We have John 3:16 saying that He is giving everlasting life. John 8:58, the Bible said, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Whoa. If you and I were saying that, we would say, before Abraham was, I was. And we'd be lying because we weren't around before Abraham was. But Jesus makes two just really important statements here. Before Abraham was, He's saying, I existed before, and this was hundreds of years before Jesus was alive. I mean, I should have looked it up. We're talking over 1,000 years before Jesus made this statement is when Abraham lived. And Jesus says, before Abraham was, but He didn't just say I was, He said, I am. Because there's never a time when Jesus wasn't. He always has been. He always will be. And as we sing the song, Heart and Herald Angels Sing, we sing Christ, the everlasting Lord. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now we're getting to the good stuff as we keep on going through this song. Verse number 2, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come, means recently, just came. Here it is, offspring of a virgin's womb. We sing it. What are we talking about? Well, find this in your Bible, if you would, Matthew chapter 1. Find Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. If you can find that, I want you to see it. We're going to move on quickly here because we still have 2.5 verses to go. We got to move. All right, can you find it? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Be like my dad when I was a kid. Come on, we're burning daylight. How many of your dad said that to you? Burning daylight. All right, the rest of you need a dad to say burning daylight to you. It means you're, hurry up. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, you ready? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Before they were married, and the Bible is even more clear than that, before they came together, she was found of child of the Holy Ghost. This is so important to understand. Jesus, when he came to this earth, he was born of a virgin. Look at verse number 22, Matthew 1, 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now get this, Jesus was the son of Mary, but not the son of Joseph. I'm not going to take a long time on this point, but I want you to get this. He was miraculously conceived in Mary's womb by the Spirit of God. The fact that Jesus was born to a virgin proves he is the Son of God. We can move on from that point, but you've got to get that. Jesus is the Son of God, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell. Listen to this. Jesus our, what's the next word? Emmanuel. What are we talking about? Jesus our Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. The Bible teaches that God created everything except the human race with his voice. Remember Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and he goes through and gives us the details on how he did that. He created man differently. The Bible says that God made man out of the dust of the ground and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. We understand that. But everything else was spoken into existence. God spoke, the sun, the moon, and the stars appeared. He created the plants, the animals, the bugs, and the fish with the power of his voice. He instituted the wonderful order of the universe. We call it science. He instituted it all with the matter and the energy working in perfect unity. He's the one that did that. Then the amazing, powerful, loving God became a man. Picture this. He stepped into time and space. I don't understand everything there is to know about time and space. I've never written a book like A Brief History of Time and Space or anything like that. But God was outside of time. He was outside of space. He stepped into time and space. He became a man. Wow, God with us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He became a man. God didn't have to become a man, but he chose to so that he could suffer and die for you and for me, our Emmanuel. Jesus, our Emmanuel. That one phrase is just loaded with meaning. God became a man, God with us. As you start into verse 3 of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Here's the phrase I'm going to stop at. Light and life to all he brings. Light and life to all he brings. I want you to find this. Find John chapter 1 again. And then we're going to look at a couple different places in John, but we're going to get it all from there. So find John chapter 1. Light and life to all he bring. What a thought. Jesus came to this earth, born. Remember where he was born? Wasn't the Presbyterian Hospital, the Methodist Hospital. Wasn't the local university hospital. It was the stable. Jesus came to this earth. He was born in a stable, laid in a manger, there surrounded by animals and shepherds because there was no room in the inn. You know the story. But the Bible says light and life to all he bring. Look at this. John chapter 1, verse 1, verse 4. The Bible says this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Go to John chapter 3 now. We're going to spend some time in John chapter 3 before we leave this morning. We're almost done. I got this point, one more point. Did you find that? John chapter 3, look at verse number 14. And as Moses, this is Jesus talking actually. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Light and life to all he brings. In John chapter 1, we saw that in him was life, and life and the life was the light of men. In John chapter 3, we see here that if you believe on him, you should not perish, but have eternal life. Look at John chapter 11 now. John chapter 11, Jesus showed up for a funeral. His friend Lazarus had died, and he'd been dead for 4 days, and he showed up to mourn with the rest of the other people. He said, that's what everybody thought. But Jesus, as he's speaking to Lazarus' sister, Lazarus had died, his sister is there. Look at John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What a verse. This is the verse I'll probably read most often during a funeral of a saved person. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. How? Why? Because Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus is answering a question. You know this verse, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the, what's the next word? Life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We sing the song, light and life to all he brings. What are we talking about? Eternal life. Eternal life. Verse 3, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. And we're going to finish with these next three phrases. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Did you catch those? Born that man no more may die. What a statement. Who has ever been born so that nobody else would have to die? Well, that's why Jesus came. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. That's us, the human race. Born to give them second birth. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, we're almost done. Hang in there with me this morning. John chapter 3, verse 1, we're going to meet a man named Nicodemus. John chapter 3, verse 1, did you find that? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered, I want you to see this, John chapter 3, verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, listen to this, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let me read that to you again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. According to our song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and this is actually biblically accurate, Jesus was born so that you could be born again. That's why he came. The reason Jesus came to this earth, the reason he was born, was so you could be born again. Nicodemus was a smart man. You know, a lot of times people feel, oh, that religious, that's just a crutch for weak-minded people. Well, wait a minute. Nicodemus was a smart man. Nicodemus was a man in a position of leadership. He was a religious man, he was a very well-educated man, but he was a man with an emptiness in his soul. He secretly met with Jesus at night to find out who he really was. That's what the first few verses of John chapter 3 are about. He comes to Jesus at night, he asks him, are you really the Messiah? People are saying that you're a Messiah, and nobody does the miracles like you do except God's with him. That's what he's saying. He wants to find out who Jesus really is because although he's smart, although he's a leader of the Jews, although he's a religious person, although he's got it together in every other area of life, he's got an empty spot in his soul and he wants to know the truth. Jesus used this opportunity to tell Nicodemus how to have eternal life. Jesus told Nicodemus that the only way to have eternal life is to be born again. Now, put yourself in Nicodemus's place. Anybody know anybody named Nicodemus? Name your kids Nicodemus? Pets? Gerbils? We don't use the name a whole lot now. So because I said the word Nicodemus, you're thinking, okay, old time, you know, old fashioned, that was a long time ago, maybe right up there with mythology. No, wait, this is a real guy. He's really talking to Jesus. And Jesus really says to him, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is thinking, okay, want to explain that one? Born again? He even asked him, so what you're saying is I've got to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? He was totally confused by this, so Jesus takes a moment to explain it. And look at John chapter 3, verse 16. Here's the explanation. For God so loved the world. Here's how you get born again, Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That is Jesus. He's the one saying this. He's talking about Himself. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever is anybody. Jesus looks at Nicodemus and He says, Nicodemus, you're a smart man, you're a leader, you're a religious person, but unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot have everlasting life. You've got to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior if you are going to have everlasting life. That's what He's telling Nicodemus. The only way to have eternal life is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God who paid for your sins as your substitute. Not just believing it and say, yeah, okay, I understand it, but trusting Him. Look at John 3:18. John 3:18. He explains it a little bit more to him. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why did Jesus come? He is born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Jesus was born that man no more may die. More specifically, Jesus was born, listen to this, so that you could have eternal life. He was born so you could have eternal life. And I'm done, but let me ask you this. If God would accept you just the way you are, and He would forgive you for all your sins, and take you to heaven when you die, would you let Him do it? Would you let Him do it? The Bible's so very clear, we're sinners. The Bible's so very clear, the punishment for sin is to die and spend eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. The Bible's so clear. But the Bible is also very clear that God loved you so much, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, He died on the cross, He paid the price for your sins as your substitute, and He wants to give you the gift of eternal life. In fact, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you accept God's free gift of eternal life today? Now, let me just talk to you for a minute. Let me ask this question. I hope you can be honest with me and with yourself. If God would accept you just the way you are, and if God would forgive you for all your sin, and God would take you to heaven when you die, would you let Him do it, or would you reject that? Jesus paid the price for your sins so you could be born again today, right now. So here, let me ask you, could you right now admit to God that you're a sinner? Let me ask you to do this. Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? I want to give you a moment of privacy just between you and God. And if you'd say, you know what, I need to be born again. Jesus is the one that said it, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you're thinking this morning, I need to be born again. Let me ask you, would you right now admit to God that you're a sinner? Right now, between you and God, could you say this, God, I know that I'm a sinner. If you could admit that to Him, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to show you right now how to be born again. And I'm going to help you to have the conversation with God so that you can be saved. Admit to Him, first of all, right now that you're a sinner. Right now, could you tell God that you're trusting Jesus and His death on the cross as the complete payment for your sins? I mean, this is big. If you, for the first time, have realized, you know, I'm a sinner, I deserve to die and go to hell, but I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, this is important. You got to realize I can't trust my church. I can't trust being good. I can't trust that I came from a good family or whatever it is. You've got to trust completely that Jesus Christ died on the cross as the complete payment for your sins. So far, you've done this. You've admitted to God that you're a sinner. You've told God that you're trusting that Jesus was the complete payment for your sin, and you're accepting His death on the cross as complete payment for your sin. Here's what I'd like you to do next. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, here's a chance. Would you right now ask Jesus to save you for your sins and from hell? If you've never been saved before, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, could you just say this, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to die and go to hell. But I'm going to trust that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid for all of my sins. I'm going to trust Him completely. And Jesus, right now, I'm asking you to save me from my sins. I ask you to save me from hell. Jesus was born so that you could have eternal life.